together for Jesus. If you believe that you are victorious, if you believe that you have peace today, joy today is yours. In the name of Jesus, victory today is mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can. Hallelujah. What's going on, TCF Nation? Hallelujah. I am so blessed and so glad to be in the house today. Like my husband just said, God has been dealing with me, and I'm so excited to share this wonderful word that has been blessing me. But before we get started, I just have a couple of greetings. First and foremost, thank you, Jesus, oh God. I just honor you today for this privilege and this opportunity to be used by you. We thank you today and we honor you. We are here for you, Jesus. Hallelujah. To the angel of the house, who happens to be my sweetie pie, Pastor Brandon Hill Sr. Shout out to our first son, Brandon Benjamin Hill Jr. Everybody say, hey, BJ. Say hi. All right, to our executive pastor, Dom. Shout out to EP. Shout out to our executive director, Vernon Hill. Shout out to Elder Brittany that's holding it down with that awesome prayer. Looking good, girl. Looking like money. Money, honey. Shout out to OG, our teaching pastor. Shout out to Mama Hill, our director of Glory Girls. Is there any Glory Girls in the building? Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. And you know, I can't forget, shout out to the amazing worship team, Transformation Music, that just led us in an amazing way. Shout out to my best children in the whole wide world, TCF Kids in the building. For those of you who do not know, God has given me the privilege to direct and teach these amazing children. It's so beautiful. Shout out to our extended family, River Life Church and Destiny's Changers Christian Fellowship in Chicago and West Virginia. And let's get started. Let's all just turn our faces and our mind onto Jesus. Let's pray. And also, before we move, shout out to my wonderful family that is watching online and that has came into the building. My mama, my daddy. Shout out to the Herrings that's in the house. We can't forget you. Last but not least, shout out to my family. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for their love. So let's praise the God for the Herrings that's in the building. Amen. So let's turn to God today and just focus on what it is that he is getting ready to do. So dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you today and we honor you. Today I pray that you will touch every heart. Oh, open their heart, prepare their heart, open every eye to see and ear to receive and hear what it is that you have for us today, God. I pray that you would even touch me, Lord. Remove all nerves, remove anything that is not like you. But Lord, help us to focus and help me to be able to be free, oh God, in your presence, to speak boldly, speak confidently the way that you have given it to me. Let it be so in the name of Jesus. We are ready and expecting to see your glory. We are ready and expecting to hear a mighty word for you from you, oh God. Have your way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So guys, turn with me to our main scripture today. It's coming from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. And if you want to read with me word by word, we're going to be reading in the New King James Version, okay? Say amen when you got it. All right. And those of you who may not have your Bibles, it is on the screen. And it reads, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Everyone say amen. Amen. So I want to talk with us about the subject, preservative. Everyone say preservative. Preservative. Amen. So for context, in the previous chapter, which is chapter 4 of Matthew, specifically in verse 18, Jesus is calling his first four disciples. Later in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew records how Jesus continues his ministry by going all throughout Galilee, teaching, preaching the gospel, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And this time, his disciples and great multitudes follow him. Now, moving to the beginning of our chapter today, the beginning of chapter 5, Jesus sees multitudes and crowds surrounding him, and he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them the character traits of kingdom citizens, also known as the Beatitudes, which means the blessings. Blessed are those who seek after righteousness. All of those things that we've heard before, those are called Beatitudes. And what he is giving us, or what's understood as him giving the believer our attitudes, we should be. So now in the verse that we are reading today, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus is emphasizing how he wants his disciples to display their discipleship as salt of the earth. No, everyone, he is speaking to people who are already followers of him. He is speaking to people who are interested to be followers. Again, his disciples and crowds that are surrounding him as they are seeing these miracles and they're seeing these signs and wonders, him healing people, they are interested in what it's like to be a disciple. And so in this very text, he is emphasizing how he wants his disciples to display their discipleship as salt of the earth. Amen. So most of us, we know salt to be this white crystalline substance that makes our food taste good. Amen. Yeah. Some of us who's healthy, we might not use salt and everything, but then some of us, we use salt a little bit too much. A little bit too much, because it adds flavor and it makes our food taste better. Yeah. But back then, salt was used for cleansing and preservation from decay in covenants. Some people would use salt as a covenant to, or as a metaphor for covenants, to share how a covenant is permanent. And of course, the same way we use it, they would also use it to add flavor. Yeah. Now, salt was also a very precious commodity to people back then. Some people use salt as a method of payment because salt was so valuable at this time. Think about it. Salt preserves food. My gold and my silver may not help me survive. My gold and my silver may not be able at some point to help my children and my family to eat. So salt was valuable because before modern refrigeration, before the high technology, all they had was salt to preserve food. So at some point, salt was a precious commodity back then. And in order to preserve, most preservation was done with a method called salting. Salting, watch out now. Salting is a process where the common salt, or sodium chloride, okay. Come on, scientists, any scientists in the house? Salting is a method where they would use common salt or sodium chloride to pack onto food, meats, all types of goods. Even nowadays, they use it with canned goods, all of that good stuff, to preserve the food. And how it's done is it penetrates the tissue and it slows down bacterial growth and deactivates the enzymes. Yes. So now that we understand salt, you know, and its purpose back then, how does that apply to us? Before we get started, we're going to understand just a little bit more context. Is that all right? That's all right. We're almost done here. All right. Now, with that being said, it's imperative to note that salt's role as a preservative can only last so long. Yeah. Wow. Because at some point, the food will eventually go bad. Yeah, that's right. Whether we use the old method of salting or our new technology, refrigeration, or high-tech machinery, we all can witness and attest to seeing food going bad. Yeah. Matter of fact, I got some spinach I need to take out when we get home. Amen? Amen. And it's impossible for salt to preserve the food forever. Salt and modern refrigeration just help slow down the bacterial growth within the food that causes the decaying. Now, not to be dark or anything, but I do want to bring awareness to our world state. Some of you may or may not know this, but just like our food, this world that we live in is rotting and one day will pass away. Can I have John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17? Apostle John, he warns us by saying, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh," this is our desires for our sinful human nature, "the lust of the eyes," meaning the desire to have what we see, or anytime you see something belonging to someone else and you have a strong desire to have it, covetousness, "the pride of life," which is the sin of being arrogant or boastful about one, what one has achieved, "is not of the Father and is of the world." All of us together, can we read this? Because this is super important. "And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Amen. So as we see, John warns us that the world is passing away. The lust, the love of the world is passing away along with it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. This is your warning. Those who have an ear to hear, let him hear in the name of Jesus. Now, if you're anything like me, we have a question here. But why is the world perishing? In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, this is again the New King JV version. "Therefore, just as though one man's sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin." So when Adam sinned, sin entered in the world. Adam's sin brought death. Even earlier in Romans, it talks about how the wages of sin is death. When sin entered the world, death entered the world. And that is why the world is passing away. When sin entered the world, it contaminated the world. And one day, the world will pass away. But if we continue that verse that we just said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Those who are believers will not be passing away with this world. God will create a new earth and a new heaven where us believers will live on in eternity in our glorified bodies. Amen. Now, that's a lot to unpack. We're going to go over that another day. Amen. Pastor has a message already out about heaven. Y'all can look at that if you're online. Check that out later. But you may be wondering, but what does this have to do with anything? Like, how does this have to apply to our text here or our sermon today called Preservatives? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus is saying, "You are the salt of the earth." Let's stop right there. So if Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth, and salt is a preservative, that means that Jesus is telling us that we are preservatives. Come on, I need you to declare it today. Say, "I am a preservative." Say, "I am a preservative." Amen. And to preserve means to maintain something. Can we get that definition on the screen? To preserve means to maintain something in its original or existing state. Amen. What are we as believers and disciples of Christ preserving? That brings me to my first point. Amen. We as preservatives are preserving the way of the Lord in the land. We are not salt of the earth to maintain the world's wickedness. We are not salt to maintain the world's wickedness, but we are salt to maintain the influence of God's holiness and righteousness in the earth. Why are we preserving it for? If we don't preserve the influence of God's holiness in the land, the quicker we will see more lawlessness and wickedness in the world. And a big emphasis on the words quicker and more, because if we look around, we can already see lawlessness. We can already see wickedness. But without Christians preserving the world, we would see even more wickedness. In fact, the world would be filled with just wickedness. There would be no good. We add salt, like we said, we add salt to our food to add flavor. So us as Christians, we add flavor and goodness to the world. Hallelujah. As salt, we have to have the capacity to have an effect on the character, the development, and the behavior of this world. This is how we spread the goodness. We've received the goodness, but now we have a responsibility to spread the goodness of God. This is also important because we are the first experience with Jesus some people will have. Why would anyone want to serve our God if we're walking around living as though his word is a lie, living dull and flavorless? We should demonstrate the goodness of God. We shouldn't just say we're disciples of Christ and then fail to preserve and maintain the very thing we profess. What weight will we have in this world if our actions are not matching what we are professing and proclaiming? God is good. God is holy. God is righteous. But we're not living as though he is. And another thing I want to note is that as salt and preservatives, the only goodness about us is the Holy Spirit. Let's not get it twisted. It's not anything that we can do or say that makes us good. Our righteousness are as filthy as rags, but it is the Lord. It is our submission to his Holy Spirit that allows us and makes us who we are as preservatives. God can demonstrate his holiness and righteousness in any way that he chooses. But Jesus is saying in this verse that he is choosing to use you and I to show the world and preserve the world with holiness and righteousness. Now, my second point is, as salt slows down the rotting of food, our influence in the world should help slow down the rotting of the world. Now, the rotting of the world, y'all, is sin. It's that simple. We just talked about how when sin entered the world, it contaminated the world. So we can blame all of this and all the reason for the world's passing away on sin. Sidebar. Did you know that hell was created for Satan and the fallen angels who sided with him? Did you know that the lake of fire was not meant for human beings? Come on. However, some humans will go to hell. And interestingly enough, people will not go to hell because of sin. Isn't that crazy? Sin is the reason for all of this. But it's not sin that will cause people to go to hell. People would not go to hell because of sin, but people will rot with Satan and this fallen world because we don't believe Jesus. The rottening entered the world all because Adam chose to believe a lie over God. And Adam's actions or sin proved that he didn't believe God when he was disobedient to what God specifically told him to do. The truth is that this world is ruled by Satan. Due to sin, the people of the world are enslaved to their flesh and are blindly serving Satan by promoting and engaging in wickedness. And because the enemy knows his fate, the enemy is already doing everything he can do to get people to go down with him and to rot with him. The darkness and principalities are jealous of you. You have a choice to choose Jesus, and they want to blind you. They want to deceive you to believing the lie of the enemy over God. They want you to rot. They want your children. They want your mama and your daddy. They want you to go to hell with them. They want your family and your friends. They want your coworkers. They want the people that you serve at work. They want you to not be a representative and not be a preservative because they are jealous and they don't want to go there alone. Hell was not meant for you and I. Hell was never meant for you and I. The original state of the earth is what God wanted us to be and live in. He wanted us to be with him. He wanted us to live and be in dominion over the earth. He never intended for us to go into the lake of fire. He never intended for us to rot with this earth. But people will. When you don't believe. Even as believers, we once were like this. We once were like this. Before we met Jesus. Before somebody who was a preservative told us about Jesus. We were once in darkness. We were once living in sin. We were once ruled by our flesh. And we were once doomed. And we were once on our way to hell. But now, as people who have been delivered and set free from the powers of the darkness, we should be encouraging others, and we should be encouraged to preserve the world by promoting and influencing God's holiness and righteousness, because this is pleasing to the God we believe who saved us and delivered us out of darkness. May I have Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 7. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. We just read that. Mm-hmm. We just read that. And these are two different authors. This is Apostle Paul speaking, and the other one was Apostle John. And they're both consistent. Yeah. Let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Yeah. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this, you know. Turn to your neighbor. For this, you know. You may have not known this before, but you know now. For this, amen, you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Like we just said, I have to pause right here. The enemy is trying to deceive you. And sometimes it's not even the big things like, oh, let's go be Satanists. It's not even that. The enemy wants to deceive you with empty words. Like, girl, that ain't too bad. He's cute. You know, y'all just doing God to forgive you anyways. Wow. Those are the things. That's how the enemy wants to deceive you. He's not coming always as this big red guy with horns. Sometimes it's your friends that's in the world when you're going through things and you're trying to figure out what to do, and they're giving you all types of worldly advice. Sometimes it's, you know, the social media that's encouraging, this is love, that is love. All of that is not right. Don't let anyone deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Amen. Family, this is your warning in love and in genuine care. Do not be partakers. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. They are rotting. They are on a slippery slope. Sometimes we can look at the world and we see God doing, he rains on the just and the unjust. And sometimes the unjust just seems like they're getting a lot of more rain than ours. But don't be deceived. They are on a slippery slope to hell. Don't be jealous of them. Don't compare yourself. Amen, elder. Because they're not on the route where we're on as preservatives. But we want them to be. Let's not glorify in that. We want them. That's why we're preservatives. Because we want to share the goodness of God so that they aren't on that slippery slope. And another truth. So we just shared the truth. A little dark, but it's the truth. But another truth is Jesus died and overcame death so we can overcome sin and we can teach others how to overcome the power of sin in their lives through faith in Jesus. Y'all, we need to realize that us knowing the goodness, God unveiling our eyes to see the goodness of God and opening our eyes to see the truths and the wonders of his word is not only for us. But it's for others and us as partakers of the goodness of God, us as believers who have experienced the goodness of God should want this for others and want to be examples and preservative in the world so that we can continue to spread on this goodness and they can experience this goodness. Amen. Our third point, Deb, you're doing a good job. You're doing a great job, Dev. Y'all clap it up for Dev. Our third point is, you are useless as a preservative if you are living in rebellion. Some of you may be like, wow, we're coming to church. They're coming for our necks. They're kind of aggressive. This is crazy. But let me tell you something. The devil is coming aggressive and coming crazy after you and after your kids and after your family. So this is just as serious. I need to let y'all know that if you are useless as a preservative if you are living in a rebellion. Now, how did we get that? From Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Let's go back to Matthew really quick. Y'all, we're going to become some mini theologians by the end of this day. Clap it up for yourself, preservatives. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 reads, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Y'all, I have to tell y'all, while studying this verse, I was a bit stuck at this part, but if the salt loses its flavor, because I was so confused as how could salt lose its flavor? And technically, when I Googled it, salt can't lose its flavor. So something we need to understand about the context of this verse is that it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. Everybody say it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor, sis. Okay, so let's get that in our mind. So if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? The phrase "loses its flavor" in the original KJV or King James Version is actually "lose its savor." And when I looked up what this means, the original phrase used in Greek was moraino. Everybody, let's learn some Greek. Say moraino. Let me hear them O's ring, moraino. You got it, all right? Now moraino, which is a verb, It means to become a fool or to make foolish. Now, y'all, the way I study, I'm like, okay, but what does this mean, Lord? What does this mean? So I went even deeper. What does fool mean in a biblical sense? To be a fool is someone who refuses to listen to wisdom or learn from discipline. One who has rebelled against God. My God. I was in my room like, Lord, this is too good. It's too much. All right. So, so now that we have more context, let's replace loses its flavor with what we've learned. Is that all right? So Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, please. You are the salt of the earth. But if you are someone who refuses to listen to wisdom or learn from discipline or one who has rebelled against God, how can you be used? Now, this, again, is a metaphor. We won't actually be thrown out. We won't, but we might as well be. Think about it. Wow. You got a pen, Pastor? Anybody got a pen? Can I get a pen? Anybody? Oh, thank you, sister. God bless you. God's going to do you well. Thank you. All right. This is a pen. And this pen was made to write. Regardless of what I write, if I want to write in my diary, if I want to write some scriptures, if I want to write a song with my girl Ryan, it is made to write. But if my pen loses its ink, how can I write with it? It can no longer be used. So I would have to catch, throw it away. And I would have to get it, move on, get another pen. Because now my pen is useless. It's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. So if we're salt that has loses its savor, just like the pen, we are useless. If we're following Christ, but living in rebellion or refusing to listen to his wisdom, we are useless to him and the kingdom of God. And before y'all start huffing and puffing, thinking I'm coming for your identities, Jesus is not saying that. Jesus is not saying you're not loved. He's not saying you're not saved. He's not saying that you are not valued and fearfully and wonderfully made. He's not coming for your identity, but he's saying if you're following me and you're living in rebellion, you're useless. You're useless. Now, useless is not a cuss word, and a lot of times we are using it very wrong. But useless actually means someone or something that it's useless is not fulfilling or not expected to achieve the intended purpose or desired purpose. It's important for us to understand what Jesus is saying again. He's not saying anything about our identity. You're still salt. You just the salt stuck in the back of the shaker that's just comfortable in that little place while all the other salts is being used. You still salt. You're still chosen. You're still saved. You're still loved. That's who you are. But you're just not being used to fulfill his given purpose, his desired purpose. All right, one more example. Can I get Pastor Dom? Can I get Pastor B? Because this is how the Lord, come up here, come up here. Y'all get to do it to us all the time, so this is kind of fun. I got the mic. Okay, come over here. Praise the Lord. God's going to bless you good. Y'all going to be right here. So I'm Jesus, and y'all are disciples, okay? Y'all looking at me because I'm Jesus. You're following me. Disciple is a person who makes a conscious decision to follow Jesus, just in case nobody knows. Okay. Now, because he's always picking on me, he's going to, and I got the mic, he's going to be the one that's the good salt. He's going to be the salt that is obedient. He's going to be the salt that is going to be listening to wisdom, that's going to be receiving discipline along the way. And this is my sweetie pie, my husband, for those who may not know. He's always so nice to me. So you're going to be my rebellious, my rebellious little salty salt, as we should call him. That's what he's going to be. Amen. And so y'all are going to follow me as a disciple follows me, but you're going to be in your role and you're going to be in your role. Okay. Can we do that? Yes. Are we sure? Yes. All right. Because when I say action, that's it. All right. Don't mess this up. You got one time. All right. Let's go. We're following Jesus. That's me. Hey, y'all. All right. I need you to come. Can you pick that up for me? I need you to pick that Bible up. Yeah. I need you to go tell her that she is loved and that she is saved and that I came to bring awareness to her and to save her from damnation. Can you do that for me? Okay. Can you go tell her that I love her and that I have a way for her and her family and that the chains are broken?
God has a way for you to break the chains off your family. Did I say that?
All right, keep following me. All right, I need you to just hug her because she is loved. Just hug her. Let her know I love her. You over here, come on. What you doing, baby? I still love you. This is my little special one. Tell him that his gift is getting ready to go places he can never even imagine.
I don't want to do that.
All right, amen. Everybody clap it up for them. Both of them are salt. Both of them are chosen. Both of them are followers. One just happens to be useful, and one just happens to be useless. That's what we look like when every time God is calling us, telling us what to do, whispering in our ears, trying to wake us up to tell us something, and all we are doing is just tugging and resisting him when he's trying to do something in somebody else's life, when he's trying to bless our lives. That's what we look like. You're following me, but you're not of any good. You're not fulfilling the purpose that I have for you. That's what we look like. Can I get back to my point? I need my point. The third point was you are useless as a preservative when you are living in rebellion. That is amazing revelation. And like we said, regardless, the truth is that you are salt of the earth. Whether you are pink Himalayan salt, whether you are kosher salt, whether you are table salt, or you are just salty salt, you are still salt. Salt being used to add flavor, salt being used to be a preservative, or like we said, that salt stuck in the back of that shaker. That just don't want to move because it's comfortable in this little place, but it's getting nothing done. It's not doing what it was intended to do. It's just there. But you're still salt. And if you're okay being salt, then that's all right. But we preservatives, we're going to be doing what the Lord has desired for us to do. Amen? My last verse. And we're getting ready to be out of here. May I have Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now, I'm reading this from NLT. So if you want to follow me word for word, Apostle Paul is saying, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of this world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everybody else. That's who we used to be. But God is so rich in mercy, And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only, now this is a note, that's why it's in parentheses. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So God, I need us to read this. Everybody. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples
of the incredible love.
Amen. Kindness towards us, as shown in all he's done for us united with Christ. My God. And God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. 9. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned all along. We just read this. This sums up everything we was discussing. Once we were dead because of our disobedience. Once we were dead because of our many sins. Once we were slaves of the devil. Once we were helping the earth and it's rotten. We were rottening with the world. But because of what Jesus has done, we are now God's masterpiece. We are now preservatives. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he has planned for us all along. I want to encourage you today. We're going to stop right here. I want to encourage you today that you are a preservative to do the things he has planned for you all along. Today is the last day that we're going to be rebellious. Today is the last day that we're going to resist wisdom, that we're going to resist discipline. Today is the last day that we are going to be a fool. But we are now God's masterpiece. We are preservatives to do mighty, mighty, mighty things, to preserve the land and share of his holiness and his righteousness, to do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to do a mighty work in you. And last but not least, my fourth point is being a preservative brings glory to God. Matthew 5, verse 16, in the same section, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Salt slows down bacteria growth for us to enjoy our food longer. It allows us to have a chance to prepare our food when we want to and how we want to. And in this case, salt slows down the bacterial growth of the world so that the light of Jesus can shine through us to enter and penetrate the hearts of those who are willing to receive him. Amen. Being disciples should not just be a benefit for ourselves, but it should be for the benefit of others as well. When they see us being salt, when they see our light shining, that should bring glory to our Father in heaven. Amen. Our response to God's grace, our response to what God has done for us should be to live for him. I hear you, Holy Spirit. Our response should be because Jesus makes me this way, because Jesus has saved me, that is why I'm a preservative. That is why I love the way I love, because Jesus first loved me. That is why I forgive the way I forgive, because Jesus first forgave me. I encourage you. People will be interested and encouraged to know this God that is helping you to be a preservative of the earth. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet. We're done here. We're done here. I feel like God has done what it is he's going to do. You were once dead before because of your disobedience. You were once dead, but now you are a preservative. Everyone say, I'm a preservative. I'm a preservative.
Listen, if you were blessed by the word, give God praise for this word that has just came forth from our own, the woman of God of this house, Letizia Hill. Come on. With everybody remaining standing, listen, I want to give you Jesus in this moment. We don't let you leave out of here until you have the opportunity to know him. It would be a danger after hearing a word like this and you leave out of here and you know where your condition is. He said, well, Pastor B, I'm rotten like she was saying in the word. Well, you don't have to anymore because the light has come. The reason why we celebrate this around this time of the year is not the fact because Jesus wasn't born in December. We know that. But we take a moment to celebrate the fact that he came. Yeah. It's in his coming that he saved us. You hear what I say? Yeah. And so with us and our faith, it is not nothing that you have to do that's, you know, to do a bunch of, there's not a bunch of the laws and the restrictions. No, he just asking for you to believe. Yeah. Come to him, have faith that he did die. He was buried. He rose again just for you, that your sins have been nailed to that tree. Your sins have been nailed. You know, when you give your life to Christ, I'm not working to be saved. I'm just working out my salvation. I'm not trying to put things on a list and I need to knock this out or this out. No. I now live in true relationship with Christ. That takes the performance out of it. I'm not to perform for God. I'm to live for him. That's what a preservative is. I'm just living. I don't have to try to be something I'm not. I just have to be who he said I am. And so I'm inviting you in this opportunity that if this would be your last day on earth and you don't believe eternity is real, I'm giving you an opportunity to know that eternity is very real. Yeah. I don't care what no one tells you. There is not a second life that you come back like something else. You only get this one. And you get this one so you can make a choice of whom you believe. And God don't control nobody. You're not nobody robot. You got a decision to make. And so I give you Jesus today as simply as confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Then you are saved. I also give you the opportunity that if you've fallen away from God, you can come back to him today. You want to rededicate your life back to Christ and make that commitment. Say, I'm going to be the salt. I'm going to be light. You can do that now. The option is there for you. The choice is yours. You're saying, hey, I'm looking for a church home. I need a church home to be a part of. I wouldn't leave out of here without making a decision to be a part of this awesome household of faith. Don't you agree, TZF? Yeah. Amen. Safe environment for you to grow in your walk with Christ. People to love on you. During it all. We believe in living the Christian experience. Yeah. Amen. It ain't nothing crazy. We just want to be who God called us to be. Do what God called us to do. You can become a part of our family today. But I'm more important that you would make a commitment to serve Jesus. Make a commitment to make him your Lord. Because you can make a commitment to a church and still not be saved. That don't get you in. You got to know Jesus. When you stand before him, I went to Transformation Christian Fellowship on the path to Brandon. That should get me in. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be saying, you know, I like him. But I don't know you. Depart from me, work of iniquity. I never knew you. It's not that he don't know you. It's the fact that he don't know you in that way. He don't know you. He don't know you as you being, as him being your Savior and Lord. So with every heart that may be open today, every head bowed, let's all say it together so no one feels left out. Those of you watching online, there's a few of you there. On there. So let's repeat it together. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I acknowledge today that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. Today I acknowledge that you died, that you were buried, and that you rose again, and you ascended to the right hand of the Father just for me. Today I'm making it. You the Lord over my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's not the prayer that makes you saved. It's your true heart's confession. If you made that decision to give Jesus your life today, if you want to slip up your hand and we'll be able to, Pastor Dom is here, we'll tell you the next steps of your salvation if you made that decision today, amen. If you made a genuine decision to make God the ruler over your life, you made the best decision you could ever make. Amen. Amen. It's giving time in the house of God. We're about to get out of here. It's giving time in the house of God.